Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal in the Center Studio. We have Cynthia Hoschwinder. Good morning, Cynthia.
Hi there.
And I do believe we have Janet Manko on the line. Janet?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. First things first, we'll get to it, I know, but the towns and villages this year, I like the look of that. You've got the glossy cover and stuff like that.
I want to let Janet talk about the glossy cover, but I want to say this is something new we're doing that I feel like it just is, makes such a huge improvement.
It does.
Well, as far as the reproduction of the photos, it certainly helps, and I think it'll stand out as people pick it up, and I hope they start associating it with us. We've done towns and villages for many years now, and Cynthia was the editor on this one. Fantastic content inside, which we always value, and we're happy to be able to produce a little bit better quality on the covers and the interior as well for
the covers,
advertisers and for our editorial content, so it's better for our readers. That's our goal.
Nice thing about the covers, it'll attract attention, but also if people want to hold on to it, it won't disintegrate.
I hope too is it's such a nice, attractive. Yep. It's a beautiful cover, beautiful color, and nice photo that James Clark chose when he did the design. And we want people to hold on to this issue because it's got all the essential phone numbers that you need. And even though theoretically they're all online, if you try different town websites, you'll find it's not always 100% consistent in what they present. So this is a very useful little booklet you should keep.
All right, we will start off on the front page. Patrick Sullivan, a Holocaust survivor at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
We got the call at the last minute this on Monday that this gentleman, Andre Sarkini, Andy, I guess he's called, was coming up to speak to the students in room 133 at the high school, and he's a Holocaust survivor. And he was apparently great and really impressed Patrick with the powerful his powerful personality and his commitment to making sure that the students were really engaged in what he was saying and that they were paying attention and that they came and sat in the front rows and didn't just sort of lag back and loll off, and gave them a really powerful speech about the importance of the last generation of Holocaust survivors is passing away and the danger of people saying, like, well, how do you know that that happened? You weren't there. You don't really know that it happened. And so he's saying, every person that I tell this story to is now a witness to what happened in the Holocaust. And it's a very powerful story, and I really hope everybody will read it.
All right, right next to that, how smart devices endanger the info on the grid.
This is also a really powerful story. And this, so we, you know, at this time of year, sometimes we have a lag, and there's a story that happens 1 week, and then for various reasons, things happen, and we have to hold it for a week. But we really feel that some of these stories are so important that even if it's a week old, we need to run it. And this is one of those stories. It was a talk in Winsted at the Community Bookstore by Joel Gordas, and it's all about how our power grid can potentially be wrecked by somebody with just one flick of a switch, and how more and more we're all becoming dependent on having our phones turn on our heat or our, being able to start the microwave when you're, at work on your way home. And what he's pointing out is what you're doing is you're creating more surface area for somebody to come in and really create a disruption in America. And it's a complex article with a lot of detail, and I really recommend people read it, especially younger people who are like, well, of course I'm going to have my phone do that. Why wouldn't I have my phone do that? So the answer to that question is in this article.
It's just like the people that buy the smart refrigerators.
Right.
Guess what? That sends information back.
Yeah,
and information is distributed.
This is what they like.
Your smart TV is the same.
Your smart watch. Everything. And yeah, and
I'm amazed how often I'm sitting in the living room talking to my daughter about something, and something comes up on my email or my Instagram about it, and I feel like, wow, I don't even have Alexa.
I know, it's pretty scary.
But it's something to be aware of.
Yes. We will take a look at the next story, which is done by Deborah.
Alexinas. This is also fascinating.
Now, Alexinas.
I think she's Greek.
Is she related to the Alexinas who was a star basketball player at UConn many, many, many years ago?
I don't know. I've never asked her that. She's very tall.
Ask her. Chuck Alexinas. If she's tall, then
Chuck.
then she's got to be related to Chuck.
She's super fun. We love her. She's a great journalist.
But find out, because he was with first. He was the first superstar of UConn college basketball back in the 60s.
I'll ask her that. That's a good story. So this is a great story also, you know, from we held over for a week from May 6th. But this is something that came up in North Canaan at the budget hearing, which is Kevin O'Connell from GEAR came and was sort of saying, hey, you know, we really need the towns to support the Dial-A-Ride. We're getting more and more rides. And, you know, it's a great program when you look at it. It's like, you know, $5 a ride, and they'll take you down to New Haven for your doctor's appointment, or to wherever you New Milford, wherever you need to go, and they'll actually set up the appointment for you because they want to be able to set up, you know, multiple trips on one, you know, route, so that it's not so it's the most efficient. So this is a great, great service, and very inexpensive, and not just for people that are in need or people who are at the local retirement communities. But, you know, it's expensive. And the question is, you know, how are we going to pay for this? And the flip side of this was Norfolk had a very feisty meeting where people came in and they said, we're very unhappy with the way that the ride system is being run. And it was kind of the dark side of, like, you know, it's not as well organized as we'd like. We're not getting as much callback as we'd like. And definitely having their voices heard. But this is a huge issue in an area like ours where you have a lot of older people, you have a lot of people going to doctor's appointments that are far away because our doctors aren't really as available as they used to be in this area, and there's no Uber or Lyft yet. And I'd like to advocate for people to really start doing Lyft up here and Uber. But this is, for the moment, what we have, which is Dial-A-Ride.
All right, the literary notebook, Bernie Drew, wrenching fiction.
This is a super funny story. So Bernie, people may or may not know, Bernie has many talents and does many interesting things. And one of the things he does is he writes compendiums of genre fiction, which are really interesting. And so if you love, you know, detective fiction, or you love romance novels, or you want to read all about, you know, novels that feature the Black American experience, he's done these giant, fat, phone book-sized books where he sort of takes every author and he says, this is what this author is about. Here's a summary of what they do, and here's a list of their titles. So he does this funny story for us here on fiction that features mechanics. And, of course, we've just had the Connecticut Antique Machinery Show, which is always an interesting event for people who love mechanical things. And, of course, that museum is open throughout the summer on Route 7 in Kent. But this is really, if you love detective fiction and you love machines, definitely read this column by Bernie.
All right, sliding to the inside of the paper on A3, around the world with four AFS students.
Yeah, so Cordelia Schiller, a former intern, went to the talk by this year's three AFS students at HUSI, and the one HUSI student who went abroad to Costa Rica, and they came and did a presentation to the Exchange Club, which is a very interesting club. They always have interesting speakers at GEAR Village in North Canaan, and all the students shared their experience. And these kids, I think they're chosen by AFS because they're comfortable speaking in front of groups, but I think that they get a lot of practice while they're here too. And they all, every year, it's really a delight to go and cover these talks by these students and hear their funny stories about what America looks like to them coming from China or Iceland or Finland or whatever country they're from.
Interesting story Peter Vermeil put together, 1970s, becoming a historical era.
Depressing for you and me, huh?
What's interesting about it, though, is Dale Jones in that said what was good and stuff like that, but also said that the military was not popular. I can tell you because I became eligible for the draft when I was a junior and senior, and my number did come up within seven number. My birthday came up within 7 days. Of being drafted.
That's terrifying.
It was very terrifying.
Because it wasn't just that there was a war going on, which is already a disincentive for joining the military. It's, you know, it's dangerous. But also at that time, there was a lot of cultural antipathy toward the military.
Well, I burned my draft card, and I'll never forget Mrs. McCafferty, who was the postmaster in West Cornwall. She was on the draft board. She came to me and she said, Marshall, I'm going to get you another card. Don't do it again. It's not just a small violation to burn your draft card.
It's hugely illegal. Yeah.
So she got me another draft card.
Yeah. I would say it's a nice thing in our era, and especially living here in the Northwest Corners, that there are a lot of young people who've had very good experiences in the military.
Yeah. But anyways, the 1970s, and the school was packed. There was a lot of people at the school.
Yeah, a lot of us still remember the 70s. And so Peter Vermeil, the wonderful history teacher, asked students to interview, as an ongoing project that the school does, people from the 70s who remembered not only what the era was like, but who he was like in the 70s.
All right. We had smoking lounges. We did. Honestly.
We did when I was in high school, too.
And I still got busted perfectly for smoking. Normal. I still got busted for smoking. Anyways, let's go on to our world. I like this because I love the guys that did the presentation. By tomorrow, today's kitchens will be so yesterday.
So they are. They're wonderful. Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein, who are so active and do so much for the community here, not just for their hometown of Colebrook, but in Norfolk and in Salisbury and in Sharon. And they do, you know, classes and they do talks. And so this is part of Lloyd Baruti's new Showtown program, which is trying to bring alternative entertainment here. I mean, there's a lot to do here, especially in summer. But the idea is to offer some alternative things. They're very creative in the programs that they're coming up. It's very diverse. And so this is one of the things they did. And again, this is a program that happened for last week, but we held it because we had a lot of last-minute news that came up. And it's an interesting story where Bruce and Mark write a cookbook every year, which is a huge, huge record. People, like, just don't do a cookbook every year. And a lot of what they do is they'll sort of go like, oh, ice cream machines are a big thing right now, or you know, pressure cookers or Instapots. And they'll do a cookbook just saying, here's how you use that machine. Here's different ways to adapt it and hack it. And here's a bunch of recipes. And they're always really good. And so they did a talk for Showtown about what they see as trends in kitchen gear.
And I tell you what, it's a big, big, big change. And those guys are just so interesting. Everything they do, they really are. And yeah, they're both good cooks.
Yeah, and they're just wonderful people.
Yeah. All right, Thoreau's message of awareness.
Yes, and you know, we forget that we actually live pretty close to Walden Pond. But so there was a talk at the Great Mountain Forest, in North Canaan by a board member from Great Mountain Forest about Thoreau and his last years and the talk that he gave, you know, with his musings on nature, but also a larger thoughts about culture.
You have a story on quilts.
Yes, there's a lot of quilters in Kent. I love quilting.
There's a lot of quilters all over this region.
I guess, yeah. There are, and there are quilt shows. Kathy Loretano is a big quilter. So in Kent, there's a group that meets, and I think there's about 25 women that take part. And I think I want to go join, but I can't. I'm one of those people that can't sew in a straight line and I can't cut in a straight line. But I think that if I joined them, I would really have fun. But so they sell the quilts as a fundraisers, and they're now putting quilts this next weekend all over Kent, and you can go visit them. It's like the gingerbread house thing where you pick up a clue sheet and you get entered into a contest if you fill out your sheet with every quilt.
All right. And North Canaan, a story on problem speeders with the Board of Selectmen.
We often have problem speeder conversations at selectmen's meetings around here, but I would say that as a person who reads the police blotter every week because, you know, I edit it, I would say there's a lot of car crashes that happen in North Canaan. I'm not sure if it's – I wouldn't say that it's always people who live in North Canaan, but I would say there's a lot of car crashes in North Canaan. And so when they're saying that there's problem speeding, there really is a problem speeding. But all of us should remember, especially in summer and especially in spring, as kids are excited about getting out of school, that it's dangerous.
All right, Sharon's tax rate decreases to 14.4 mils.
Yeah, you know, I don't often see that, you know, and people often say, well, we're spending less money this year, so why aren't my taxes going down? So if you live in Sharon, your taxes are going down. Yay.
All right. You've got Elite Fitness, which has moved. Now they're in a much larger space.
Right, and it's a nice space. On the same property in Lakeville across the street from the boathouse. It's the gym I go to. There's a lot of, you know, in the rest of the country, the movement is toward these ginormous barn-sized gyms that have 20,000 of every machine. But here in the northwest corner, the trend is toward these boutique fitness centers where there's usually one person who's a trainer that works in a specific area. So Bill Burke is a physical therapist, a very good trainer. He'd been in this tiny space after giving up his space in Millerton and has now moved to a space that's more than double the size.
The steps for the town hall are done,
and now
the ramps.
Yes, and we'll see if how long this renovation lasts. But there's been consistent problems with that entrance to Salisbury Town Hall. We'll hope it's resolved.
They started it at a weird time. Then the winter was not a great winter, and the spring has not been a great spring. Every weather-related delay they could actually anticipate happened to them. Everyone.
Yeah, there's been a lot of problems with the design of that building, too, and with the snow coming off the roof. And it's, you know, it's an unhappy reminder that the original town hall was burned down in the 70s and was rebuilt, and maybe not the best design.
lots of obituaries this week. From Brian Tyler to Harry Hall here in Sharon.
Right, young people or older people.
Yeah.
Harry Hall, of course, a particular favorite of mine and the father of our advertising sales rep, Libby Hall. Service for him tomorrow at Noble Horizons. So we'll miss him for sure. And also for people who are regular readers of the sports page, he wrote the bridge column for us. So that will... that will no longer continue.
And Joseph Hurdle passed away, and they even had it at the Millerton Diner, a fundraiser for his family.
Yeah,
this week as well. So, our condolences to all the families. The opinion page, editorial wise, open information taken seriously.
Right. We of course are big supporters of open information, and we had written about the fact that North Canaan had a meeting for area towns to talk about open information. They had their town attorney there who's an expert in the field, and this led into a statewide conference, which happened and which we promised we would write about, and sure enough, here it is. It was on May 3rd, and all kinds of town officials, city officials, journalists, agency officials came from all over the state to talk about open information. It was fascinating to hear what their issues are and what they run into day to day. The Freedom of Information Council manages to make it an enjoyable day as well, and to find humor where they can. And so do give this a read. It describes how they, let us know what we need to be doing if we're running meetings and handling documentation in the state.
All right, and you've got letters from suicide to Trump to the Career Experience Program. Lots of letters again this week.
Lots of letters on all different topics, and they're all really interesting reads. So, you never know what our readers are going to be thinking about. Some of these are direct responses to items that appeared in the papers, like Richard O'Connor's letter on teen suicide rates, which Cynthia, of course, wrote about on the health page last week, and a couple of other things like that that are responses. But otherwise, just thinking and sharing thoughts with their neighbors.
Anthony Peel's executive privilege versus the power of Congress.
Right. This is an important topic right now, and the guy to write about it is Tony Peel. He has an interesting take on it, and it's important for our country that we all think about it.
And the commentary also, part one of two parts, Eric Holder was right about how to try the 9/11 defendants.
That's right. In case we forget that we still have Guantanamo and we still have people there who are being tried in the military courts, Charles Church is an expert on this and gives us an update, and it's fascinating, a two-parter. Give it a read, because this also is really important.
All right, and as opposed to Sharon's mill rate going down, Salisbury's is going up 2.6%.
Yeah, which is a lot, but I got to say, I live in Salisbury. We are so lucky that we have such a low tax rate there. So if it takes that to raise to help pay for the many services that Salisbury provides, I'm okay with it. But read Patrick's story about the town meeting in Salisbury, and that is going up. And then this is actually a really important story by Leela in Cornwall, which is a town that really doesn't – I think a lot of people still don't even have cable there and has really been sort of left behind by high-speed communications. There's this conversation that's going on now about 5G, which is the newest form of high-speed internet and phone. And the governor has said he wants to make it available to every town in the state, which is going to be a hard push because – companies like AT&T, even though they're required to as part of their deal with the state, are supposed to provide service in every town, but they really have to be pushed to do it in some of these smaller, more remote towns. Apparently, this 5G technology is, it's going to be expensive to put in because they're moving so much information through the pipe, but they have to have the fiber optics come up into these microcells, which are placed fairly close together, and apparently on your electric power. poles, so people are going to see them. And people are already getting a little freaked out about this aesthetically, but also they're concerned that there's going to be, you know, health implications because you have these powerful generators.
Well, the problem with 5G is, and it's going to be fantastic, and a lot, and with the health concerns, the National Weather Service and other users of satellite data say they are getting disruption in their services from the satellite because 5G is so intense and carries so much information.
Right.
And the microcells that are placed around and the different antenna sites, there's actually a problem that has to be overcome to stop that interference from happening with the satellites.
As with so many things, unintended consequences. And then, you know, as you're reading this, like, link back to the story in A1 about cybersecurity and right. about how maybe we're getting a little over-reliant on I'm starting to stand on a soapbox here, aren't I? So anyway, read it. It's a very interesting article. But there's a forum coming up in summer for people who really want to hear some information about this and also want to share their own opinions on it.
A couple of stories very quickly out of Kent. House of Books might be closing, and there's summer music coming to the Kent Town Center.
And so Robin Dill had bought House of Books from its previous owner and has run it beautifully for the last several years, and it really is a treasure of a bookstore. So she's decided to give up the business, and she'll either close it or she's hoping that somebody will step in and buy it. And so it would be lovely if somebody would buy it. And then there are going to be concerts coming up in Town Center over near Turston's, across the street from the Villager.
So Kent will have it now. Sharon will have those concerts, of course,
North
at the
Cannon.
VFW in North Canaan.
Yep.
They have the concerts. And there's also the Doughboy
right.
concerts, which also go on in gear. So a lot of live music being performed out there.
Yep.
All right, you've got 2 minutes to go over. Compass.
Compass. Ann is away, but I'm happy to talk about it. We have a fascinating review on The Red Daughter, a book by Jonathan Burnham Schwartz, based on historical fact, but much more, as Stephanie Coven lets us know, who wrote this review. It's fascinating. Give it a read. Jonathan Burnham Schwartz will be at the White Hart on May 21st, speaking about the book from 6 to 7:30. So do read this and go hear him read.
All right.
We have also a wonderful piece by Wiley Wood on Bartholomew's Cobble, Taking a Walk in the Woods. Fantastic, especially as the weather is suddenly getting better. Let's all think about that and get out there. Great book review by Ann Day, who left it for us even though she is away. Garden Wild by Andre Baranowski. Fascinating, and just makes you want to get out there and garden. We have in calendar lots going on, but don't miss two exhibits of Region 1 students at the White Gallery and at Standard Space. You'll see them listed here. And we have Danielle Mailer, Magical Reality, New Works at the D.M. Hunt Library, opens May 18th. Don't miss this. We do have a reproduction of one of her pieces, a wonderful review by Emily Gates.
All right, that and much more. And don't forget the Towns and Villages.
Towns and Villages. If Cynthia has even 30 seconds, I'd love her to talk more about it. It's all about, you know, has the information, but also has information on the recreation departments in all the towns.
Because we feel like as summer comes up, a lot of rec stuff going on, but also people really, you know, these are people who are interacting with our children all the time, and we have to be so lucky when we have so many good ones.
All right. All that in the Lakeville Journal. Also, tricornernews.com and on Facebook. We will speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. That is this week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, Lakeville Journal on the web, tricornernews.com, and on Facebook.